You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
For the first time in 11 years, OneLogix, the niche logistics provider, is reporting a decline in profit, primarily due to what's going on around the listless economy, thanks to COVID-19 and the lockdown. Revenue down by 4% to 2.62 billion rand. EBITDA down by 12% to just under 350 million rand. And HEPS and diluted HEPS down by 46% to 17.1 cents per share. Encouragingly, though, at a NAV level, net asset value is up 7% to 402.3 cents. And there's some good news around the final completion of Umlaas Phase 3. CEO Ian Lawrence joins us now. Welcome, Ian. OneLogix is very much about logistics, moving goods, abnormal primary and logistics services, your three divisions. We saw supply chains come under immense pressure during lockdown. Just share some insight into how that manifested through your business.
Look, we occupy a couple of niches in the logistics space, and some were affected differently to others. For example, our agricultural businesses were pretty much deemed to be an essential service. So they carried on pretty much as normal with a couple of variations. But on the other end of the spectrum, our motor car delivery side of things took quite a lot of strain because, you know, in April, you could literally count on one hand the number of cars that were sold in South Africa. So we really saw both ends of the spectrum. The fact of the matter is it was pretty devastating. So, and I'm not saying anything new there. We're all aware that a societal lockdown has a major impact on a business. And because we've got a portfolio of businesses, it literally went from pretty severe changes to that wasn't too bad.
It does create an awful lot of complexity to manage a group where different parts of the group are being affected on almost different ends of the spectrum. You decided to implement and execute a right-sizing operation in response to the pandemic. What did that entail?
Yeah, Michael, we really, because you know you mentioned Umlaas 3, what we call Umlaas Phase 3. It's rather a big capital investment. In fact, the biggest one we've ever undertaken, and that was pretty much coming to a head. So we literally could not afford for any single one of our businesses to entertain any losses whatsoever. Cash was absolutely critical. So we right-sized, as you said at the outset, and that would include things like freezing non-essential capex, cutting out non-core operating expenses, reviewing our fleet utilization. Clearly, that's a big thing for us since we're in logistics. We reduced fleet that wasn't appropriate. We mothballed, we stored, in other words, other fleet that wasn't appropriate. Bit of a blessing in disguise, by the way, because it actually, and over the years, it's perplexed me very often, and I'm a bit embarrassed to say that when you look for the cost savings in a comfortable environment, you don't really find them. But when you're compelled to, you know, there's nothing that focuses the mind as that, and you find it. In fact, we're finding that we're actually running a lot more efficiently as a result of all these things. Unfortunately, there were retrenchments, you know, there were salary reductions, you know, provident fund payments were suspended, regularized overtime. You know, there's a whole host of things that we did. But the beauty of it is that it worked. Because I can tell you right now, we've made this public knowledge that all the businesses in the group, all 12 of them, are all trading profitably. So, you know, we didn't escape unscathed, but we're still standing, and I think we're still strong.
It reminds me of what Jack Ma said about 2020. Forget about profit, just stay alive. Get through to 2021, and you've certainly done that to good effect. The balance sheet not looking in terrible shape either. But I want to come back to that phase three of your Umlaas Road Logistics Hub. It's expected towards the calendar year end at an estimated total cost of 310 million rand. Your biggest capital project to date, what does this offer the group?
So, Michael, it offers us quite a lot of strategic advantage. This is the phase three development. Phase one and two benefited our vehicle movement business, which we call VDS. That's where we move motor vehicles for all the OEMs in the country. We do the same for trucks, by the way. But now, with extension two, not only do we extend that service for those two businesses, but we also, further part of our business is to move abnormal goods. And agricultural equipment and even some raw materials that are coming from Africa, working through our system through the ports to be exported. All of these businesses are now getting benefit from that. So it's really infrastructure that allows us to consolidate our service offering to our customers. So, for example, we're integrating a lot more into their supply chain or their value chain than what we ever would before. So it's a big, big thing for us. It's big in financial terms, but it's also big in strategic terms.
And speaking of that, I think that's the one thing that this lockdown showed us, is that while just in time and all of these modern things around supply chain have been great, they also show up when there's a crisis like this. And I was looking at a recent WEF survey that found that four of the top five global supply chain vulnerabilities relate to visibility along supply chain networks. So how are you now able to secure deep and accurate visibility through your customers' supply chain by offering these integrations?
Once again, it varies because we've got a portfolio of businesses, so it varies a little bit from company to company. But in the best case example is really in our vehicle delivery service side of things, where literally the OEMs that import their vehicles literally don't even see their motor car. So we are able to look after the entire spectrum of the value chain from when the vehicle enters the country until it gets to the dealer network. And there's a whole complex relationship of business activities that work its way through there. And clearly the big thing is we've just got to make sure that we communicate in such a way that the OEMs that we're working with are comfortable that we've got everything under control and they understand what we're doing. So I don't know if that answers your question, but it's a logistics by definition is that there's a lot of moving parts that you've got to coordinate. And absolutely, if you can coordinate that pretty well and make sure that your customer is continually informed and happy with what you're doing, you're starting to get the process right then.
And it does answer my question, because it is all about enabling the the line of sight through the ports, bringing the vehicles in and to the dealer networks, as you say, and giving the OEMs that comfort. I'm sure you liaise closely with government when it comes to customs and port health and trade permits and border controls and all of that kind of thing, cargo handling and our yes, ports and harbour terminals. We're speaking about how to make South Africa more competitive right now. It's front and centre as we look to this new NEDLAC agreement that the President is yet to unveil. What would you like to see to help make our logistics and supply chain more competitive? I think port charges are the perennial issue. They're just far too high if you want to be competitive globally. What else would you like to see to help enable South Africa's trade to make our ease and terms of doing business that much better?
Well, Michael, there's a number of things, but I think the ones that spring to mind that probably the most important is the efficiency of the process as well. You know, there's an inconsistency in terms of the efficiency, which is often frustrating, because it you know, you can imagine with logistics where you've got to plan certain things, and if it happens on one occasion and doesn't happen on another, it creates all sorts of knock-on activities down the road. You know, so there's that, for example. I mean, there are occasions when we've sat at Bight Bridge in the last while with a truck for 10 days. Can you believe that? 10 days, which is outrageous. It shouldn't even be 10 hours. It should be probably 2 or 3 hours. So but once again, there are occasions, and I've just been made aware of this week, where we've gone through in 2 and 3 hours. So we just never know what's going to hit us. So you need a level of consistency in addition to the point that you make.
Absolutely. And if we're ever to have the promise of the African Continental Free Trade Area turn from political rhetoric into reality, those are the sorts of things we're going to have to get right. Ian, for a management team, what are you going to be focused on over the next financial?
Well, we're finally putting to bed the UMLAS 3 situation, where we're going to release a whole host of capital and cash into the business, which is going to give us a lot of degree of flexibility at the very time that we need it. We grow our business threefold. It's no rocket science. We grow that we've got organically. We look to start up businesses, which we've done in the past. We've done it on 4 occasions, all very successfully. And we've made something like 14 acquisitions in the last 6 years, all of which, every single one has been successful. So we grow organically, we start businesses, or we acquire businesses. And thankfully, we are going to have the war chest to have a look at these all three of those options going forward. And that's going to certainly occupy our minds to the extent that we've got much else to do other than that.
No, absolutely. But I do think there are going to be several opportunities, particularly on the M&A front, as we see some distressed assets coming onto the market. And with the balance sheet, one can go in and through any crisis, it does tend to leave those that are well-equipped with sufficient capital to emerge stronger than they were as they entered into the crisis. OneLogic CEO Ian Lawrence reporting back on a difficult period for the first time in 11 years, reporting a decline in profit. But who isn't in this environment? I think just staying in business, as I said earlier, is a job well done.